I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. Here are our top stories for Friday, December the 8th. In a public notice released on December 1st, the FCC's Office of Engineering and Technology has invited comments by January 31st, 2018, on a wide-ranging series of Technological Advisory Council recommendations that, if implemented, could alter the spectrum policy regulatory landscape, especially with respect to interference resolution and enforcement. ARRL will file comments in the proceeding, known as ET Docket 17-340. The Technological Advisory Council has called on the FCC to consider adopting the spectrum management principles spelled out in the Council's Basic Spectrum Principles White Papers of March 2014 and December 2015, and set clear expectations about the affected system's capabilities regarding interference, such as harm claim thresholds. More broadly, adopt risk-informed interference assessment and statistical service rules. And finally, implement a next-generation architecture to resolve interference and establish a public database of past radio-related enforcement activities. The Council also recommended that the FCC incorporate interference hunters in the interference resolution process. Jim Kvachik, K8JK of Brighton, Michigan, has been appointed as Michigan's section manager for the first half of next year. His appointment will begin on January 1, 2018, and will continue through June 30th. Kvachik was appointed by ARRL Radio Sport Manager Norm Fusaro, W3IZ, in consultation with ARRL Great Lakes Division Director Dale Williams, WA8EFK, and outgoing Michigan Section Manager Larry Camp, WB8R. Camp, who has served as section manager since 2012, intends to step down from the volunteer position on December 31st when his term of office concludes. An ARRL Life member, Kvachik was licensed in 1968. He has been active in many facets of amateur radio, including public service, experimenting, and equipment restoration. He currently serves as an assistant emergency coordinator and a volunteer examiner. He is president, newsletter editor, and technical director for the Livingston Amateur Radio Club. The Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation has announced a program to help radio amateurs and radio sport enthusiasts in Puerto Rico get back on the air in the wake of this fall's devastating hurricane damage to the island. The KP4 Generator Project is raising funds to purchase generators. Well-known contester Angel Vasquez, WP3R, will distribute the generators to active radio amateurs on the island for use in emergency-related communication and other applications based on local need. The Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation will match the first $5,000 in donations from clubs and individuals to the KP4 Generator Project. The foundation is an IRS 501c3 organization, and donations are tax-deductible for U.S. taxpayers to the extent allowed by law. Currently, electric power has been restored to roughly two-thirds of the island, but full power may not be back until early next year, according to some estimates. Generators remain in high demand and in very short supply on the island. The mission of the Worldwide Radio Operators Foundation is to improve the skills of amateur radio operators around the world, utilizing education, competition, advancements of technology, and scientific research. The foundation focuses on promoting international friendship and goodwill, and on preparing operators to better serve society in times when communication support is needed. At the December 2nd Superstition Hamfest in Mesa, Arizona, the Arizona Repeater Association presented its annual donation of $2,500 to the ARRL Spectrum Defense Fund. This marks the fourth consecutive year that the club has contributed. ARRL Development Manager Lauren Clark, KB1YDD, said, quote, ARRL is deeply appreciative to all the members of the Arizona Repeater Association for their ongoing support to the ARRL Spectrum Defense Fund. With the Arizona Repeater Association's most recent gift of $2,500 to this important fund, ARRL is pleased to welcome the Arizona Repeater Association into the Maxim Society. Close quote. The Arizona Repeater Association contingent, headed by Brian McCarthy, AK7F, presented a symbolic check to ARRL Southwestern Division Vice Director Ned Stearns, AA7A, ARRL Arizona Section Manager Rick Paquette, W7RAP, and other Arizona field organization staffers. At the same Hamfest, a plaque signed by Arizona Governor Doug Ducey declaring October 28th, the date of the ARRL Arizona State Convention in Maricopa, as Amateur Radio Day in Arizona, was presented and displayed at the ARRL booth. Jean Touzeau, F8IL of Albi, France, said to have been the world's oldest radio amateur, has died. The so-called Dean of French Radio Amateurs, Touzeau was 109 years old and enjoyed operating CW with an old-fashioned hand key and a modern Yaesu transceiver. He retired from the airwaves for health reasons at age 105 in 2014, according to media accounts. Until then, he had been active on the air, making daily contacts on 80-meter CW with other stations in France. In stepping back from his ham activity, Touzeau said he no longer was able to send CW and made, quote, too many mistakes, close quote. Repose en paix, Jean. ARRL has announced that W1AW will start scheduled transmissions on 6 meters beginning on January 2nd. W1AW will add 6 meters, specifically 50.350 megahertz, to its regular CW code practice, as well as CW, digital, and phone bulletin transmission schedule, starting with the 1400 UTC fast code practice on January 2nd. In addition to providing regularly scheduled transmissions on 6 meters, another goal of the W1AW transmission on the Magic Band is to act as a beacon from the Northeast United States. Members of the Fermilab Amateur Radio Club will operate special event station W9F until December 16th UTC to mark the 50th anniversary of the National Accelerator Laboratory, named to honor Nobel laureate Enrico Fermi. W9F will be active on or about 7.250, 7.275, 14.260, and 14.340 megahertz SSB, and may operate CW on 7.040, 10.130, and 14.040 megahertz. Send QSLs to Fermi Amateur Radio Club, P.O. Box 500, Mail Stop 109, Batavia, Illinois, 60510. December 6th is the 100th anniversary of the Republic of Finland, and Santa Radio, OJ9X, will celebrate the centennial and Christmas through the end of December. Several radio clubs will participate in the OJ9X operation on all bands and modes. The first 100 stations scoring the highest number of bands/modes, with the top 10 from each continent, will qualify for the prestigious Finland 100 Years Award, signed by Santa himself.
Hello, I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Contest Branch Manager. And I wanted to talk a bit, Bart, about the 10-meter contest coming up this weekend. Now, since we're in the depths of a solar minimum, does that mean this contest is kind of pointless?
By no means. The 10-meter contest is a ground for all levels of amateurs to enjoy. Especially important is the fact that our newest amateurs, technicians, can even get on the air.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people forget, is that this is a big contest for technicians, potentially.
Exactly. And as it is a long event, amateurs can operate up to 36 hours of the 48-hour operating period. People can get on all different times of day. If they've got other commitments, they still can get on in the evening. People who are busy in the evenings can get on during the afternoons. And we also have, at this time of the year, winter e-skip, which will benefit people as well during the middle of the day. And I'm seeing some of that on 6 meters, so I'm sure we're going to see that on 10 meters as well.
Now, when does the contest start?
The contest starts this coming Saturday, December 9th, and runs through the 10th. Starts at 0 Zulu on Saturday, which is Friday night Eastern time, and ends Sunday night Eastern time as well, If that's UTC, that's 0 Zulu Saturday through 2359 UTC on Sunday.
But what do you say to the people who tell you that, Bart, come on, the band is dead. There's not going to be anything happening.
For those people, they may not be somebody who's actually gotten on 10 meters and recognized what its potential is. And what's interesting is if you look at any of the spotting systems, these computer websites that track activity, there's always activity going on in either 10 meters and or on 6 meters, suggesting that there are contacts to be made and there are paths that are open at various times, whether they're domestic or north and south into South America.
Now, for a little pistol operator like me, would you recommend single sideband or CW for this contest?
It depends on what you enjoy. There are some amateurs that only operate CW, and they make contacts over paths that other people might not expect is possible.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be on the air for the 10-meter contest this weekend.
And I'm going to be on too, Steve, and I look forward to working you and the many others who will get on. Remember, once you've completed the contest, be sure to send in your log. We're looking for your Cabrilla logs or via paper, and the log deadline is 10 days after the event, so get your logs in early.
Excellent, Bart. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
Are you a QSL card collector? Here's an interesting one. If you download telemetry from ECAMSAT, which is the E. coli antimicrobial satellite, and submit it, you can collect a QSL card. They will be changing the QSL cards over time, and you will want to collect them all. The satellite has a telemetry downlink on 437.100 MHz FM with an AX25 packet every 5 seconds. It has the same format as GeneSat-1, PharmaSat, O-Stroke, Oreos, and SporeSat. You can get more information about the satellite and the dashboard at ecamsat.engr.scu.edu. The call sign for ECAMSAT is KE6QLL. Happy birthday to FunCube 1 or AO73. November 21st was its birthday. It is now 4 years old and still performing optimally. The command stations remind you to use no more than 5 watts to a 7 dBi gain antenna. More power is not needed for this transponder. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, December the 8th. A tiny sunspot appeared earlier this week, but it was very weak, at least by the sun standards, and will probably be gone by the time you hear this broadcast. Despite the fact that we're still being bathed by a stream of solar particles, the odds are pretty good for quiet conditions this weekend for the 10-meter contest. The solar flux index is only 68, so propagation on all of the upper HF bands will probably be weak at best. However, don't forget that 10 meters, just like 6 meters, can provide some excellent sporadic E openings at this time of the year. On VHF and UHF, speaking of 6 meters, it's already popping with sporadic E openings, so be on the lookout from roughly late morning through late afternoon. We also have a weather front sliding up the eastern U.S., and it's already triggering some tropospheric band openings. In addition, there are reports of strong openings in California and the Pacific Northwest.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.